Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, I'm Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to talk to you and answer your colour and style questions. Today, first question out of my lucky dip comes from Anna. He says, I love colourful outfits, but I am a one colour at a time person. How can I wear 2 to 3 colours without looking like a clown? Should I always wear a coloured neutral? So if you want to wear 2 to 3 colours, you can do it in a way that is more, like, less intense. And that is to look at analogous colour schemes. So looking for an analogous colour scheme is a colour scheme which moves around the colour wheel. So today this is a little bit analogous. We've got like a turquoisey blue. It's more monochromatic, but it's still got a couple of different shades of blue. They're kind of next to each other on the colour wheel. One's more blue, one's more turquoisey blue. So that gives you the feeling of a bit more colour without going over the top. So we could just go a couple of colours around the colour wheel. I would recommend thinking about things like a scarf that has a quite blended pattern that also, or a top or something that has a blended pattern where the colours move in a subtle way. They're not jarring. They're not jumping from one colour to another. So that also can make your outfit feel more colourful without it overwhelming you if you happen to have a lower colour contrast. So really analogous colours are better than just all colours. And then looking at things like, yes, if I'm wearing blue jeans, then I could wear a green top or I could wear a violet top. So I could go one way or the other. So I can move around the colour wheel. And then I may be able to move slightly further by going into, if I was going around the purple way, then I could go to a red-violet. Maybe I have an accent or something in a red-violet. Or if I've got the blue jeans and I'm going this way, I could go the blue into the teal. And that's also going to allow you to wear a couple of colours without it overwhelming you if you've got this lower colour contrast. But don't just be jumping across the colour wheel or, kind of going very distance, because that's when the colour's going to look way more colourful. They intensify each other and they make each other look brighter. So that's where it starts to look like a higher colour contrast. So this is where just doing a range of colours, you can do a column of colour, always feels more colourful than using any neutrals. So if you want to add colour in, think about just doing even a monochromatic outfit, which is one colour at a time. But we could have, like today, I'm wearing monochromatic, I'm wearing blue jeans, blue jumper, blue scarf. So it's quite monochromatic, but this scarf does have a couple of different blues in it. So it's not just completely one colour. So it can add a bit more interest to it, but it still feels like a colourful outfit compared to if I was wearing an all grey outfit, which would feel much more neutral and much more boring if that was what I was wanting, was more colour. So you can think about doing it that way. So thinking about wearing coloured neutrals, but if you are wearing coloured neutrals, so if you're wearing, say, an olivey green, actually I might just grab a swatch here, it's going to look, if I'm wearing kind of a soft sort of, kind of olivey sort of colour, just going to a blue, that still feels like more colourful, but we're not going to go around and jump around from that green to a red. That's when you're really starting to up that colour contrast. So just thinking about keeping the colours more close to each other on the colour wheel, and that's not going to overwhelm you. So that would be my advice for that. Okay, next question. Jean said, is it unusual to have a long décolletage and long rise? So these are two of the body proportions. So when we're thinking about our body and how it's proportioned out, we're, according to Leonardo da Vinci, about 8 head lengths long. So we have head, mid-bust, waist, rise, 2 kind of head lengths to the middle of the knee, and then 2 head lengths to the ground. That's our kind of proportional look. So when we think about, if I have a long décolletage, that means the chin to the bust peak is long, and a long rise means the leg break to the waist is long. This is quite common on a longer body. So if you happen to have a longer body and shorter legs, this is actually really quite common. It's not unusual at all. It's more common in X shapes and A shapes than it is in H shapes or O shapes. But, you know, it can actually come on any shape. And this is why proportions are not part of body shape. So if you happen to have a long décolletage, you can add more detail and interest to that area. Now, one of the things that often when we measure our body proportions with a long décolletage, it's because we're not wearing a really well-fitting bra, that we've let the straps get all saggy. We need to kind of tighten them up again. Maybe if the back is pulling up, then the band, you need to go down a band size to make the bra fit correctly. Because when we're wearing a well-fitting bra, your breasts will sit kind of higher. But if you have a very large bust, that will naturally sit lower. There's just no way it can sit, you know, higher when you have a large bust. So a very large bust tends to make that proportion a bit longer as well. So therefore, we can put a bit more interest and detail. So wherever we are long proportion, we can add more detail. Wherever we're short proportionally, we generally want to keep clean and free of extraneous detail. So if you are longer, wear a bit more detail. If you are shorter, keep it clean and free. In that proportion, we can add a bit more stuff. We can add jewelry, we can add scarves, we can add interesting necklines, we can add shoulder detail, depending on your body shape and all those sorts of things. But they are some options for you to draw attention to that longer area and to also make it look more balanced. Now, if you have a long rise, this is also pretty common. You'll notice in particular, every time you sit down, if you feel that your pants pull down really low and that the waistband suddenly sits very low, this is often a sign that you have a longer rise. And even on you, a high-rise garment may only be mid-rise. So this is why don't worry too much about what the rise is. These are just some, you know, kind of averages that they sew things on that aren't necessarily related to you and your proportions. So when we're thinking about that rise, you'll find that you might need a higher rise pant to fit you. Low rise really doesn't work well on someone who has a long rise. And then you'll often find there drawing attention up to the waist can work really well, but on a pair of pants, like skirts work really well on long rises, but pants, this is where you can start to go, well, that kind of proportion is really quite long. And this is where you might want to end your top just that little bit longer. So it might be an inch below your hips instead of on your hip bones. So when I'm talking hips here, I'm meaning the hip bone, which is the high hip, not the low hip, which is kind of often at the base of the bottom. So at the top of the thighs. So thinking about that is definitely something you might want to just play with, where your tops end and your jackets, to find what is that great proportion for you. So this is where we each have each of these proportions. We just have to find kind of what works for us. And this is why taking photos and just even things like tops, tucking them at different lengths or just turning them under and try them, you know, longer, medium, shorter, and actually seeing which is the most flattering on you. Take the photos, put them side by side, and it's often quite obvious about which one is the best for you. It suddenly stands out. Because often people with a long rise and long décolletage, it gives them a longer overall body and they'll have shorter legs. So we often want things a little bit shorter because we have that longer rise. So yeah, not uncommon. We each can have like this long and short, you know, variations everywhere, and we're humans, we're individuals. So it's really common to have a variety of different of proportional differences in our bodies. Not unusual at all. But often you'll find if things don't fit well, it can be, say, if you've got a long décolletage, because the bust starts are too high for you, and so they're not the peak, the widest part of where the bust is supposed to go in the garment is not at your bust peak. And so that's often why things don't work. Or if your rise and your waist, you know, one's short, one's long, therefore where they put the waistband might be not quite in the right spot for you. And this is frequently why we can try things on and think there's something wrong with me, when there's nothing wrong with you. They're just not making it for your proportions. So you've always got to remember that. This is where sewing can be such a great thing, because you can alter garments and you can change those measurements very easily. I remember some years ago, before I had my breast reduction, I was talking to a woman who had a fashion label, and she was making a dress for me. And she said, "Oh, can you measure from, you know, the top of your shoulder to under your bust?" And because I was always complaining, of course, that I couldn't get anything to fit. And when I gave her the measurement, she actually said, "For the rest of my body, that measurement was 11 centimeters, which is probably 3 inches ish, longer than what the standard kind of manufacturing sort of thing." And she said, "No wonder you can never find anything that fit, because that's a lot of, you know, that's about that kind of amount of space. That's a big difference to what they're manufacturing to what I needed to fit my body." So of course, so this is why, you know, sewing and stuff can be so great. Okay, final question for today. What kind of scarves should you have in a scarf collection? Signature colours, right contrast, patterns, or plain? So with scarves, you can have anything. I think this is where personality is so important. Signature colours can be great because they're always going to make you look amazing. Now, for some people, if you have patterned skin, I'd be looking for patterned scarves, because that's going to create that texture and interest near your face. And also, if you have more texture, I'd be looking for patterns rather than really solids and plains. So really, it depends on you and your, you know, what you have, your physicality as well as your personality. And of course, too, should I have plains? Should I have patterns? If you're more classic, probably more plain, or just a plain stripe or something like that. If you're more creative, you might go for patterns, and you might love mixing the patterns as well. Now, if you're maybe feminine, you might like, you know, I wear patterned tops, so I'll have plain scarves, or I'll have patterned scarves and wear plain tops. But if you're creative, you might want to mix a patterned scarf with a patterned top. This is why there is no one answer to any of these questions, because there is always a what if sort of, you know, maybe this, maybe that, maybe something else. But I would look at your location and lifestyle and what you like to wear as far as all these things goes. When do you wear scarves? Do you wear them casually with jeans? Do you wear them more formally with a suit? You know, do you wear them for evening wear? Do you need more a pashmina, or do you need a small square silk scarf, depending on how you put your outfits together? If you're wearing more, you know, casual clothes, then you might want your scarves to be more in cotton and wool rather than silk or satin. These things are always going to come into this equation depending on kind of your requirements, your lifestyle, how you like to wear them, what kind of outfits you like to wear your scarves in. But they are just a few little things to think about when you are thinking about your scarf choices. But I would be looking at, you know, signature colours are great, or a pattern with signature colours. This is always great. If you've got a high value contrast, I'd be looking for scarves with high value contrast. That just gives you that immediate value contrast you need in your portrait area. If you've got a low value contrast, look for scarves with low value contrast if they've got a pattern. Got a high colour contrast, add more colours in. Low colour contrast, less colours. And of course, think about ideal value, because again, we can put that ideal value back close to our face by having whatever is a similar value or lightness or darkness as our hair in the scarf. So some things to think about there. Please do send me your questions, imogen@insideoutstyleblog.com, and let me know what it is that you would like to know. And what questions you have. And of course, if you want to get, you know, the more personalized advice, the more the information that's really going to help you define your personal style, because that's the easiest way of having a wardrobe full of clothes that you love to wear, then come join my 7 Steps to Style program and discover how easy it is to actually kind of create your own personal style guidelines and stop wasting money on clothes that really aren't doing it for you. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and colour tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of colour and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.